I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that is vital to every single true believer. Absolutely vital to every true believer. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. This chapter closes with one of the clearest verses in all of the Scripture on what an offense our efforts are in trying to earn our own salvation. What an offense our efforts are to God in trying to earn our own salvation. They are not just insufficient. Our works are not just insufficient. Our works are insufficient. But they are not just insufficient. They're an offense. They're an absolute offense. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. The Apostle Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate grace. Like so many people do today, without even knowing that they're doing it. They don't know they're doing it. They even claim grace. And they sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound, don't they? You love grace? Oh yes, it's on our sign. And they have no idea that they are frustrating God's grace. The word frustrate means to set aside. You look the word up. It means to set aside. To disesteem. To despise. To bring to naught. To reject. He said, I do not set aside the grace of God. I do not reject the grace of God. He went on in verse 21 to say, for if righteousness, what is needful, what is commanded, what is demanded of God to be in His presence, right, no wrong. If righteousness come by this law, obedience to this law, obeying what God has said to do. God said it, didn't He? If righteousness comes by obeying what God said to do, verse 21 says, then Christ is dead in vain. That's a powerful verse of Scripture, isn't it? If my good deeds are what pleases God, and if that's what earns my favor with Him, if He accepts me into His kingdom and into His presence because of the good that He sees in me, you know, He's really grown. He started out bad, but things are changing. If He looks to me, if His eyes are on me, if He's looking at me, if it all hinges on what He sees in me, then I have totally taken Christ out of the equation. Completely. And He suffered. I mean, He suffered. And He bled and He died for no reason. No reason. And that's what that verse of Scripture is saying. Now, let's go to verse 11 and we're going to work our way back up to verse 21. Galatians 2, verse 11 says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, here this is God's apostle. Peter, he came to Antioch. Paul said, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. You know, Peter's just a man, just like the rest of us, isn't he? And he erred. And Paul said, I had to withstand him to the face because he was to be blamed. Verse 12, for before that certain came from James, another apostle who was in Jerusalem, before that certain came from James, Peter did eat with the Gentiles. He sat down at the same table with the Gentiles. The Gentiles who were not under God's law. They were strangers to it, right? But when they were come, these other disciples from James, Peter withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. As soon as they walked in, he thought, can't be sitting here. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with Peter, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. The Jews were steeped in religion. Steeped in religion. They grew up under laws. They were told by their parents, God says we have to do this, and God says we cannot do that. They'd been told about this law, that law. They knew them. They were steeped in them. There were certain meats they were not allowed to eat. Look with me at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 verse 9 says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord. God said, rise, kill and eat. And Peter said, I'm not going to do it. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. God told Peter, all those things that the law says you are not allowed to eat, the law, God's law, all those things that the law says you're not allowed to eat, God said, I'm telling you to eat them. And this has nothing to do with meat. It has nothing to do with meat. It has everything to do with God telling sinners that they are not justified in His sight by obeying the law. This has everything to do with God justifying whom He will. Justifying whom He will. He said, don't you call common what I have made clean. Now go with me back to Galatians 2. The Gentiles were possibly eating meat that the law said the Jews were not allowed to eat. They probably, you know, you get somebody walks in and you're caught with what's on the table. They could have been eating meat that the Jews, by law, were not allowed to eat. The Gentiles were considered heathen. They were considered outcast. They were unclean. They were sinners. They were sinners. The grace of God in Peter caused him to be the friend of publicans and sinners. That's what God's grace in a person does. But when some of these Jews came from James, Peter withdrew himself from the Gentiles, and he caused the other Jews to go with him. They all withdrew themselves, and even Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was the one who traveled with Paul to the Gentiles and preached and came back and said, they believe the gospel. They believe the gospel. Barnabas was the one who originally went to a lot of these Gentile places. Even he withdrew himself, and they all went back to their law. They came out of it. But then all of a sudden, they all went right back to their law. Okay, Barnabas traveled with Paul. You know, you see this inscription right here to the unknown God? Let me tell you who that is. He sets men free. Free. Free grace. And now all of a sudden, they've all gone back to their law. Verse 14 in Galatians 2. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He said, if you've been set free from the bondage of the law, you were brought out. If you've been set free, why are you trying to put the Gentiles under it? You were brought out. Why are you trying to put them under it? If you know that salvation has nothing to do with obeying the law, why are you, by your actions, saying that it does? Why? Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. He's saying all of us apostles are Jews. We were brought up under the commandments of the law. We knew them. We know the bondage of it. We're not strangers to it. We know the danger of it. And he said in verse 16, now read this carefully with me. All right, let's see if the Lord will let us enter into this verse. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, but by the works of the law. Even we have believed in the law, that we might be justified by the deeds of the law, and not by the faith of Jesus Christ. For by the works of the law shall all flesh be justified. Is that what that verse says? Not at all. Not at all. He said, we know that a man is not justified by the deeds of the law. The reason that a sinner could never be justified by obeying this holy, perfect, good, right, loving law, this precious, blessed law, the reason is because no sinner could ever obey it perfectly. And that's what God demands. Perfectly. In deed, in thought, in motive, that's what he demands. God is holy. That means he must do right. He must. He only accepts what is perfect. Only. Sin is mixed with every single thing that I do. I love that poem or whatever it is, that writing that old writer wrote. He said, I cannot pray, but I sin. I cannot preach, but I sin. Sin is mixed with everything that I do. Every single thing that I do. Look with me at Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 18. The Apostle Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He did not say very little. No good thing. For to will is present with me. I wish I could. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. It is not possible. It is not possible. So our trying to obey God's law can and will never justify us. I mean never. Does that mean we don't have a heart to try? Absolutely not. God forbid. But it cannot justify us. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13 verse 38 says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." I want to read that again. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Couldn't be. It is just not possible. 1 Corinthians 1 says, "He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." He is my wisdom. Without him, I don't have any. He is my righteousness. Without him, I don't have any. I love the illustration of the golf club. I'm with him. What right do you have to be here? Without him, I don't have any. He is my sanctification. Without him, I don't have any. He's my redemption. If I'm going to be redeemed back to God, without him, I don't have any. I just don't have any. If Christ is my sanctification, it can't grow. To grow means I'm going to become better than Christ if Christ is my salvation, if he's my sanctification. That's not possible. He's the end of all those things. He's the end. Colossians 2 verse 10 says, "You are complete in him." Now Christ died and he shed his blood and he saved you. All right, now what? You're complete in him. You are complete in him. Verse 16, back in our text, back in Galatians 2. Verse 16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." That means it's his faith. That's what it means. It belongs to him. It comes to us from him. It is performed in us by him. And what that means is we can't take any credit for believing. I'm going to tell you what, if you want to be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, I can't. I don't have any faith other than the faith he gives me. It's his faith. He gives it to whoever he will. Hebrews 12 says he's the author of it. He's the finisher of it. He's the doer of it. Verse 16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ." And this is what we believed. We believe in Jesus Christ, don't we? And this is what we believe. Verse 16 says, "That we might be justified by the faith of Christ." We believe in the faith of. Isn't that true? we believe in the faith of. I don't believe in my faith. If I look to my faith, I'm a goner. Because it can be here 1 minute, and as soon as this is over, I'm going to go get in my car, and we're going to drive down the road, and maybe turn the radio on, and my faith is gone. I don't trust in my faith. We believe in the faith of. Verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, just in case this is not clear, let me illustrate this. There are two people. One person has lived a life of absolute sin. I mean absolute sin. He's murdered. He's stolen. He's a liar. He's an addict. The other one has gone to church since the day he was born. Started in the nursery, worked his way up. He has truly tried to give his life to helping his neighbor. You know people like that? I mean, it's like, man, I'm not a good neighbor. That guy puts me to shame. He tries to take the low road and he gives others the high road. Honesty has been policy number one. He's always paid his bills on time. He's never tried to cheat on his taxes. He's an honest, non-confrontational, kind man. Which one of those two men are going to be allowed to enter into glory and live eternally in the presence of God? Which one of those two men? Without the blood of Christ, neither one of them. Neither one of them. This guy might be a little bit better than this guy, but he's not good enough. He is not good enough. How good does a person have to be to stand in the presence of God? As good as God. As good as God. We don't know what we shall be, but we know when we see Him, we're going to be just like Him. As good as God. So without the blood of Christ, which one of those two men going to stand in His presence? Neither one. But if both of those two men, this man and this man, if both of them have been covered from head to toe in the blood of the Lamb of God, which one of those two men are going to be rejected from the presence of God? Neither one of them. Neither one of them. Verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. What does he mean by that, if we're found sinners? Verse 18 says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. What he's saying is, if I acknowledge that salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ alone, but I still try to add my works to it. If I say that works are still somehow, yes, it's the blood of Christ alone, but works still somehow have something to do with it. Will God accept me on those grounds? He said, God forbid. Verse 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In Christ alone, there is no sin. Outside of Christ alone, I'm a transgressor against God. Verse 19 says, for I through the law, according to the law. in agreement with the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. How's that possible? When all are born under the curse of the law, aren't all born under the curse of the law? How is that possible? Sinners stay under that curse until the day they die, don't they? I'm going to be a sinner in this flesh until the day I die. How can I be dead to the law? Verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. He satisfied the law against me when He hung on that tree. He put away all of my transgressions against the law. Every single one of them. He covered me in His blood. And He made me acceptable to God. As far as the law is concerned, I died. Man is bound to his wife under God's law until he dies. And she's bound to him under God's law until he dies. She can go marry another after that. As far as the law is concerned, I died. And as far as God is concerned, I live. Verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There is a new creation. There is a new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Lord said, behold, I make all things new. Brand spanking new. Verse 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am only alive because Christ loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the only reason. I mean, that's the only reason. It's not because I used to wear a headband around my head and run around like a lunatic, and now I wear a suit. It has nothing to do with it. It's only because God loved me and Christ died for me. That's it. And the fact that God put me in Christ, and I'm in His hand, and He's in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck me out of His hand. The fact that I am absolutely secure, no matter what, ordered and sure, that does not produce 1 ounce of rebellion. I can do whatever I want to now. No, sir. Thank God. I bow. The only plea I have, the only hope I have, the only thing that will get me into the presence of God Almighty is the fact that He loved me and died for me. That's it. So verse 21 says, I do not disesteem. You know, you highly esteem something. I do not disesteem. I do not despise. I do not bring to naught. I do not make nothing out of the grace of God. I said it first. I said it highest. I highly esteem it. I love it. I love God's grace. I love God's grace. It's my all. Verse 21, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And Christ is not dead in vain, is He? He did not die in vain. Thank God. Romans 8, I'll close with this. Go with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, and God's perfect law was not weak. I'm the one who was weak. I couldn't do it. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Is that not precious? Can you see God at the right hand of God? As I go through this life, everything I still have to live out, he says, I paid for that. I paid for that too. I paid for that one. That one's covered. That one's done. That's over. My blood, my blood, my blood, my blood. He daily, all day long, he makes intercession for me. Blood, 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 blood. Verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.